ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise podcast. We're going to talk about the headline-grabbing Chicago Bears with actor-comedian Mike Pusateri and podcaster and whatever else he does, Mike Prasnowski. Guys, how are you?
Doing well, Andy. Doing well. Bears actually made a little bit better of an effort than we've seen earlier this year. Still couldn't come away with a win.
That game had everything you could ask for. It had a sack.
One sack.
Multiple touchdowns.
One.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I asked for.
You had a fumble six?
Never, yeah.
All kinds of stuff happened.
All kinds of stuff happened.
Yeah.
So this pointless exercise... Oh, I should announce this. So this is the Bears podcast, but I know a lot of you are also Cubs fans. And for the next couple of weeks, we're running a... Not only is there a sale, you can drown your sorrows in the horrific end to a Cubs season by saving 20% off the regular subscription price at pointlessexercise.com. But there's also at least 2 weeks full of content that I'm simply billing the aftermath. Huh? How'd you like the dramatic title for this series?
I like
There's a podcast. There's multiple columns coming out. We're doing this on Tuesday. The one today was about, all right, the season's over. What do they got going forward? Like, what can they build on this? You might, if you're really excited about it, you might not want to read that. So that's what I've got going on. Now, Praz, are you still doing your podcast in the off season?
We are kind of taking a little bit of a break with it. We recorded last night, but as the off season news breaks, we'll come back to it maybe one after the World Series. But if you're looking for another Cubs podcast out of the collection, folks, be Bums in the Bleachers, myself and John Oliva. We record Monday nights on the Chicago Sports Bums YouTube page. Follow us on Twitter, Bums and Bleachers. I'll always tweet out there if we're recording day or two in advance for a scenario like this where, you know, season's over and probably not going to be a weekly thing, but we'll have some stuff out there over the winter.
Are you guys ready to do the emergency pod when they tomorrow when they announce the 10-year contract extension for David Ross?
Oh God!
Which I'm sure he signed podcast last year. The super secret
the podcast might be canceled if that's the point. If that's what happens.
All right, and Mike Pusateri, what are you up to?
Well, you know, if anybody is listening, Bears fans listening out in Hollywood, come by the Warner Brothers picket line and say hello. I'll be there tomorrow, which is recording this on a Tuesday, so Wednesday, and I think Wednesday and Friday morning, and I wear that Wrigley Field scoreboard clock hat, so you can't miss me.
Very nice.
I got mine.
So
mine
say
was,
hello.
Mine was free. I got it. It's right over there somewhere.
Okay, there you go.
Turns out all you got to do is make fun of Abby shirts, and they send you free stuff. Seems like
stuff.
An odd thing, but you know it worked for me. I got a buck. I got a sweatshirt, a t-shirt, a knit hat, and a cap, all with this Wrigley scoreboard. It's the nicest thing they sell. And I think this still works. So if you go there and buy some, use Discipio. That's the code. It'll save 20% off.
There you go.
So
nice.
Everyone's actually, a winner.
Yeah, everyone's a winner except your Chicago Bears.
Your Chicago Bears.
Very nice. Very nice.
It hasn't been a full year yet, though. They have won within the last 12 months, but we're getting very close. It was week
dangerously
seven
close.
Last year when they beat the Patriots? I believe
well,
week,
what are we at?
This
great.
Is going to be five coming up. We're getting close. We're within shout
and
range.
I think it was week 9 or 10 because they were 3-6 at that point.
So it's later. Well, all right. Well, we got plenty of time then.
Yeah. Well, they've lost, wasn't it 14 in a row, 15 in a row? What is it? Something like that.
Oh, I didn't know there'd be math.
8. I think it would be 12. Yeah, 8 from the time they beat the Patriots, and 4 this year.
Well, let's see here. Their last win was in New England, and it was week 7.
October 24th.
And October 24th. They lost 10 in a row to end last season, and then 4 in a row for this season. So they're
14. Yeah.
So
it was,
when they if they
this
lose the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Does Rod Marinelli come by to give the Flus like a watch that doesn't work? What are the 0-16 coaches? Like what club do they hand out? What, you don't get a jacket, you get like a dickie. You don't get a gold jacket, you get a gold dickie.
I think it'd be nice.
It would be nice.
That'd be nice. You know, like one of those Christmas vacation ones that Eddie wore.
Or it's the black one under the white sweater.
That's a fine gift for an 0-16 coach.
Maybe that's what we should put in the Pointless Exercise Discipio store. Monogrammed Pointless Exercise Dickies.
I like that.
Who wouldn't buy those? Oh, that's a good idea. All right.
You can't afford not to buy it.
Somebody write that down. Dickies. It's going to be great.
Come on.
So you can tie. You can even tie current events into this Bears situation. So today, for the first time ever, the House of Representatives removed the Speaker of the House. So there's technically an interim Speaker of the House. The guy's name is Patrick McHenry.
Yeah.
Give him liberty or he doesn't seem like a liberty or death kind of guy.
No, he doesn't.
I don't know. Did you see the video of him? He was so mad. He was emphatically hitting the gavel, and it like slid off the. And then somebody added. Somebody took that clip and added like a little when it hit instead. It was very good. But anyway, you could tie this into the Bears thing. So in the 103-year history of the Bears, they have never had an interim coach, ever. No Bear coach who started the season has not finished the season. Could we see history twice in the same week?
In Washington.
Oh, that's
in
right.
Washington,
oh,
of all places.
Oh, the parallels.
The parallels. I tweeted this out. I do think Abe Gibran would have made a fine Speaker of the House, so we can even connect him even further.
He would not have been the worst. I can tell you that.
Not
even been the worst from Illinois.
Right.
Actually, I don't know. If
Douglas. Douglas.
You know, though, Abe would not have put up with Jim Jordan shit or Matt Gaetz. There's no way.
Oh yeah.
No. No way. Things would be running like a real smooth in the wrong direction, but smooth.
He'd have strapped into a tackling dummy and just, you know, let loose. Yeah.
Running like Jim Marshall. Right,
we're going to run the Oklahoma drill. Settle this discussion. So the Bears have had a lot of coaches over the years. Even though not as many as most teams their age, because they had one coach who coached for 40 years, George Halas.
Right.
Who neatly, and I didn't notice till I was looking up, he neatly, he quit. He gave up the job three times. But he coached 4 10-year segments. He gave up the job after 10 years. And then I don't know what he did. There was a couple of years. They won the championship while he was gone. Came back, coached for 10 more years. Then joined the Navy during World War II.
Right.
So he was gone.
Right.
And that's when Hunk Anderson and Luke Johnsos, Hunk, what a great name, coached the Bears to a title while he was gone. Came back, coached, coached 10, gave it up, coached 10, gave it up. That's when he came back and coached until he retired, I guess. Is that how that works? Anyway.
And he played for the Yankees in there too, briefly.
Yeah, but yes. That was easy back then. You could do both.
That's true. You can do both back in those
days. The NFL, when he was first coaching, it was like, you know, what day's the game? I don't know. When is everybody available? You know, that was, you know, I got to play for the Yankees. Yeah. All right. Well, how about what? Are you off on Thursday? All right. We'll play then.
We'll play Thursday.
It was pretty informal back when it first started. That's why you could buy a franchise for $100, which is what he did.
Yeah, right.
But there have been 55 years since he gave it up for good. And in those 55 years, there have been plenty of coaches that should have got fired during the season and just didn't. Uh-huh. It's a lot easier to list the ones who shouldn't have. Like, although, honestly, for that last year, Ditka was there. He might have.
I was going to say that even that was a little right. That was
final year of Ditka was a little. You know, they've only had one winning season since they fired Lovey after going 10-6 and not making the playoffs. Yeah. The curse. Right. It's the Lovey Smith curse.
Do you know the names of the guys that won titles when Halas was not coaching? You just said one of them.
Of course.
Is it just it?
Well, I said two because they had co-coaches, Hunk and Luke.
Co-coaches, Hunk and Luke.
Player
and then
coaches.
Was there?
I got to look up the first guy here. So talk amongst yourselves.
We're talking like Google. The Sid Luckman era, right?
I think prior to that. Yeah.
Prior to that.
Oh, wow.
Well, let's look at the list because it's
George
Mesty
era.
All right, so the first head coach obviously was actually. How about this?
Okay.
The very first coach. Oh, it's hard to. Was a guy named Robert E. Brannan, not Walter Brennan, Robert Brannan, who coached the Decatur Staleys in 1919. They won the Central Illinois Championship, very prestigious. His record is unavailable.
Yes. Okay.
Halas took over in 20, and coached for 10 seasons. They were 84-30. I hate the way they do this. No shit. All right.
Yeah, football back then is weird.
Apparently things were a little different. Their first stint, they won 84 games, lost 31, and tied 19 times.
Oh, my goodness.
But they won the championship in 1921.
Okay.
Halas did not coach them from 1930 to 1932. That was Ralph Jones. He was 24-10-7, and they won the title in 1932. George came back, coached another 10 years, 33-42, 84-22-4, and won three NFL championships, 33, 40, and 41. Then he took three more years off, and that was when he was out floating around in the I don't know if he was in the Atlantic or the Pacific.
I think he was in the Pacific.
And Hunk and Luke coached them to 23-11-2 in the NFL title in 1943. George came back, coached 10 more years again. 75-42-2, they won the NFL title in 1946. And then the great Paddy Driscoll coached them in 1956 and 1957. They went 14-9-1. George came back for 10 more, 58-67. Went 75-53-6, and they won the title in 1963, the last championship, last NFL championship they won, as Donahue would say. I guess the Super Bowl is, and the NFL Championship are different because after the merger and all
right.
that. I don't know. But anyway.
Whatever. So there have only been three non-Hallis guys or teams, I guess, coaches, coaching teams, to win a championship.
Yes. The coaches who've led the Bears Hunkin. To the world championship are
yeah.
George Hallis, Ralph Jones, Hunkin Luke,
and Ditka. Ditka.
And Mike Ditka.
Wow. Only three non-Hallis championships.
And then, yeah, then Luke Getsy later this year.
No, that's going to be high. If they do that, that'll be Hightower, their special teams guy.
Oh, I don't know. We can talk about it's just,
you can talk about
even,
that.
It's like they're just going to have George do it. So the first non-Hallis, like, George is not coming back, I promise, this time, coach, was Jim Dooley.
Right.
He was 20 and 36.
Late 60s?
68 to 71. Then the three-year yep. glory that was the Abe Gibron era, where they
yes.
went 11, 30, and 1. His 268 winning percentage.
Good Lord.
Is it the worst in Bears history? This is an easy answer.
Are we including the current coach?
Right.
Is that
no, him? No, no.
Guess who has Lewis the second has worst? Guess who has the second? Flus has won a cool 18% of his games so far. But there's
wow.
somebody who is, let's see, no. Okay, Abe is number two. Who do you think has the third worst okay. winning percentage in Bears history?
Well, Jim Dooley's team went 1-13 one year when them the Steelers.
Dooley, 357. He's a draft. Good. He's a good 60 points higher than this guy.
It's okay. Is it? It's not America's first astronaut.
No. Oh no. Neil.
No. He
Neil.
Good.
Neil won almost half his games. He was 30-34.
Yeah, okay.
You could put Neil on the moon, but you couldn't put him in the Super Bowl.
Couldn't be. Well, doubt it's anyone recent. It's not Wani.
It
it's
is.
Not Lovie. It's not.
It is recent, and it's the guy everybody
Wani?
Forgets. No. More recent than one.
Oh, John Fox.
John
oh, Trestman?
Everybody, no, Trestman
oh,
won. Trestman almost made the playoffs. It wasn't for Chris Conte running the wrong way. 406
Fox
for Trestman. Johnny John Fox, okay. 291. He went from having the highest winning percentage in Broncos history to the at the time, the second lowest winning percentage in Bears history. So, way to go.
Impressive.
Way to go, John.
Wow.
Pretty good.
So anyway, yeah, they easily could have had an interim during the Dooley era, especially the year he went 1-13. Abe was begging for it all three seasons. Not the Jack Party 2 years over 20-22.
Yeah, okay.
Neil was 30-34. Ditka 106 okay. and 62. Wani,
that's
you can
it.
Make
it's
a
done.
Case that he should have been fired during. Well, actually, I can't make a case that he should have been fired during his last year because he shouldn't have been there. The fact that
yeah.
they brought him back
mm-hmm.
was just mind-boggling. But he should have been canned during his second to last season, and there should have been an interim then. And I don't know which genius it would have been. Probably Greg Blotch probably would have got to be the interim.
mm-hmm.
Dick Turan, honestly, too nice to fire during a season. I mean, who's gonna
nice guy?
Who's gonna go do that?
Yeah,
just let.
And he wasn't their original idea, anyways.
Right. Maybe that was the thing. Maybe Dave McGinnis was destined to be the first Bear coach ever to be fired during a season, and then Mike McCaskey
there you go.
So it didn't happen. And then Lovie. Trestman should have got the axe during that final season after they gave up the 50 points in the back-to-back games with a bye in between. That should have been the end of Trestman.
Right.
They didn't do it.
Yep.
Fox could have got it at any time. Nagy should have got it after the Cleveland game, his final year. Actually, he should have been back for that
yep.
year. And now,
yep.
even the picture on Wikipedia of the Flus, it's so sad. He's like staring at his feet, like... like woe is me.
Mm-hmm.
He is. Oh no, his losing percentage is worse. They haven't updated this because he's 3-18, and they have him at 3-14.
Oh.
I need to go into Wikipedia and add his four more losses. So he is lower than 176. He was already by far the worst, and it's going even worser.
He is at 143.
Okay.
Andy, 3-21. Yeah.
With a bullet.
Wow. What's his on base percentage?
It's Nick Madrigal-esque.
So it's 143.
Yeah. So the first guy, Robert Brannan, apparently was the coach of the team because he worked for the Staley Company, and it was a company team.
Gotta like that. Yep. He was like the foreman horse.
Yep.
Yeah.
Staley was never actually the coach, though. Because I know he owned.
You mean the
team,
you mean the mascot?
Actually, how about that? That's who they should replace Eberflus with.
Yeah.
One of the most underrated moments in Bears history is the Staley's reaction to the double doink. It's amazing.
Yes.
And he's perfectly in frame for the whole NBC, like, basically set the shot up to keep the mascot in the frame so they could watch him celebrate, and instead he just falls flat on his face and lays in the grass. It's perfect. So he deserves it. I don't know if you've ever seen the video. There's the unofficial Bear mascot when they were playing in Evanston.
No.
It's hilarious. It's basically the way I described it was we concluded in a remember this crap. There's just like some dude who was a luggage handler at O'Hare who decided the Bears needed a mascot. And if you watch this video, I'll find it. I'll attach it to the post. If I told you before you saw the video, this is Mike North's dad. He was the unofficial Bears mascot for a game. You would believe it because NFL Films mic'd him up for the game. And it is hilarious. Wow. He's like, light him up. He's running around. Yeah, light him up like Christmas trees. Hey, little guy. He tries to go like talk to the players and they're like, what the f-? They're like, you know, he's high-fiving to come out of the field. He starts yelling at the player. He's, oh, for Christ's sakes, you know, when things are going bad. Or he's yelling. He's like yelling at the coaches, yelling at the players. He's talking to the fans. And the suit is terrible. It's just like, it's like he went to like, I mean, I even know where you went. And like, it's got to be in the early 70s, I would guess. He couldn't, I don't even know what costume shops there were. But it's it's so bad, it's great.
Wow.
Maybe that guy.
Check that out.
That guy could be the coach.
Pappy.
Was it worse than that random Billy Cub guy that used to hang out around Wrigley before the Cubs officially introduced Clark?
Didn't he hit somebody?
He did.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. I remember Billy Cub made some news. Billy wore pants, though. If I remember.
Yeah, but that's a disqualified him. Cubs said, no. You
can't. Exactly.
That's not sexy enough. Sorry, Billy. We're going for, come on. Here's our vision for this mascot. No pants. We got a windowless white van that he's going to drive around town in for appearances that the kids can all get in. It'll be great. Who would think any of this was wrong?
Right.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
So how about this? I think if this the Flus meets his demise this week, and we'll talk about why this might be the week, for a logistical standpoint, this makes sense. This could be the week that he gets his mercy papers. Shouldn't they also announce they're bringing back the Honey Bears?
Gotta have something to bring the fans back to games.
They haven't won a Super Bowl since they got rid of the Honey Bears either.
See, there you go.
Wasn't that 85 the last year of the Honey Bears? The Lovey curse
right
is nothing compared to that.
Yeah, okay. Well, they got to do something.
So the reason this makes sense, that this might be the week that Matt Eberflus ends his reign as Bears coach, is because it's a Thursday night game. You get extra time to prepare for next week, which makes it kind of an efficient time for one coach to pack his stuff up in a box and another coach to go down the move down the hall and temporarily set up shop in that office. it cracks me up. The NFL teams are far less likely to fire a coach in season than any other sport. And it's, right. It gets down to their, they think everything is so complicated. Like, oh no, we couldn't possibly, you know, we couldn't possibly change now. I mean, who's gonna know how to do all this stuff? It's like, well, the guy doesn't appear to know how to do the stuff. So I don't know how it's going to get any worse.
Well, especially in the modern day NFL when, you know, most of the time the coordinators are calling the plays anyway. Of course, without the Bears.
Well, that's out the window now.
Well, how about this?
They have an offense.
What if Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren go down to see Matt and they say, all right, here's what we'd like to do. We'd like to we're going to relieve you of your duties as head coach. But because you're also the defensive coordinator and we're already down to our second one, we want you to stay on as the defensive coordinator.
Yeah. See, there you go.
There we
go. That's a reorganization. I like it.
Yep.
You do it just like the Broncos are doing with Vance Joseph. We saw that on Sunday.
Yep. That was amazing to me. He's doing such a good job.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. I enjoyed the stat that the Justin Fields, the Hail Mary at the end of the first half was the first half incompletion that the Broncos had allowed in 2.5 weeks, because Tua had been perfect against them the week before and Fields had been 16 of 16 before. It was whoever they played in week two had like an incompletion and then like several in a row before the end of the half. The streak was at like 40 passes in a row or something without an incompletion for that defense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they won. Usually, so Mike Pusteri, you were right when you said, all right, if you fire a coach in season, you pick one of the coordinators. And you got three coordinators to pick from. The Bears only have two. Because as hilarious it would be to make Matt stay on as the defensive coordinator under a coach that he hired, they're not going to do that. So you're down to either Luke Getsy, who remember, at this time last year, people were like, oh, you know, if the Bears offense gets hot, they're going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hot head coach. And he was the head coach. He was the head coach in the was it the Shrine?
Oh,
it's
right.
Another one.
One of those college All-Star game.
The one where they dress like Reese's Pieces. The Senior Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Reese's Bowl where the one team wears orange and the other team wears red. It's like, we get it. Yeah. You're dressing like the candy. Just knock it off.
Right.
So he's got like a week's worth of head coaching experience.
Yeah.
That seems like the ideal
guy. Impressive.
But it doesn't always have to be that way. Remember last year when the Colts decided that they'd had enough of Frank Reich. They called up Jeff Saturday at ESPN and said, hey, how'd you like to
That's
come
right.
to your coach?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's
That's
one
right.
thing. I mean, think about the talent that the Bears could pick from just in this town alone, a former Bear. It's like you could have Dan Hampton. I mean, who would
you get? Oh, right.
There How about go, yeah. you could have Ed Obradovich could be your interim coach.
Oh, I would love OB.
Who wouldn't love OB?
Just for the post-game pressers.
You got Wani sitting right there.
Yeah, well, Wani is.
Got Wani.
You got Wani. You got Lovey.
You got Lance Briggs.
I mean, I don't know why. It seems to me like Wani should have been the interim at Northwestern and for the Bears. Should have just done them both. One team plays on Saturday, one plays on Sunday, sometimes Mondays or Thursdays. But you can do it.
Right.
You can make it work.
Yeah. There's no overlap.
You have Olin Krutz.
Yeah, Krutz. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, Jim Miller.
Yeah. You have Bob Thayer. You're just coming up from the booth.
Tom Thayer. Jeff Joniak. Have them both. What the hell?
Yeah, the football version of Lou Boudreau.
Yeah.
So honestly, I think we're onto it. I think that the reason they haven't done it yet is they've just got way too many good options to sift through. I mean, they can't rush
George
this decision. They're like, I don't know. Look at this. I mean, what about little Tommy Waddle? He's available.
Right.
Tom Waddle. Yep.
Yeah.
Or George is probably like, hey, you know, Sean Payton, who was a former Bear, he was backup to Mike Hohensee. Mike Hohensee coached the Chicago Blitz, or the Brews. What were they? What was the arena team?
The Rush?
The Rush.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Blitz is the USFL team.
He's got a lot of experience.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll get him. I think that's it. I think we're already down to the crux of it. It's going to take them a couple of weeks to sift through all the names.
Yeah, there's
just way too much talent for them to get through.
Kevin Warren is putting flat guards in front of George.
It's just like the Cubs having too many shortstops. There's too many head coaching options.
Somebody's got to go. Then somebody's got to go to Virginia, and she'll want to know why. Well, how about Clyde? Like, all right, well, Bulldog has been dead for 67 years.
How about Clyde? Oh, we should send his wife something. Well, then we take care of that.
She's been dead for 64 years, Virginia. Oh, such a nice lady. There's a reason. I have a really bad, it's the Bears. It's most Chicago sports team. There's a reason that Nagy survived the entire season, that Trestman survived the entire season. And it's that George was the president at the time. And in George's mind, it's like a Bear tradition that they don't do that. It's like, oh, no, we don't do that.
Right.
Oh, no, no. God forbid we don't do that. Well, he's not the president anymore. And I think we know, the little that we know about George is usually from his very awkward press conferences at the ends of seasons.
Yes. Yeah.
But he certainly seems like a guy who, if Kevin Warren came down to his office and sat down and said, we have to do this, George would not say no.
Correct.
George wouldn't do it, but he also wouldn't stop it. And so that's the that's the different world that Matt Eberflus lives in than he even lived in 12 months ago. Where it still would have been George's call, and they just would, and George would not have done it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. I mean, for a guy who had to reach out to Bill Polian and then Ernie Accorsi for consultants to hire head coaches and GMs, so. Yeah, he's not going to make his own judgment call on that one.
Yeah, he's like, "Oh, Kevin, don't you think it's rash? There, let me rub the toupee that Ernie left behind. I'll see if I can summon him." Like, what? That's not how it works. He's like, "Just use the phone. What? Why is this here?" And so obviously there are plenty of reasons on the field that this. This is clearly a team that is – this is a head coach who's in over his head.
Way over his head.
Yeah. And so there are reasons on the field. But now there are also reasons off the field that are creeping in. And this, though, I'm not – I'm going to indict the Bears for this, not Matt Eberflus, because this is a trend that has happened to every coach, I'm going to say, since Ditka. And this is the weird, like the simplest things. Chase Claypool wasn't at the game.
That's right.
Did you tell him not to show up? No, of course not. He could if he wanted to be here or not. Turns out, yes, he was told he couldn't come. So how is that? How does the coach and the, here's why. The Bears, we dealt with this during the Nagy shit. During the two tenors where it didn't seem to matter, was the Ditka era and the Lovey era. With Ditka, like the PR guys, I'm sure, would go up to him and go, we're not going to tell people that he's not. And Ditka, I don't give a shit. I'm just going to say whatever I want. Lovey never said shit anyway. So Lovey could rarely ever get caught with a different message than the team because Lovey never said anything. So you never had to worry about it. Most coaches try to answer the question. And so this is what I get. This is what I can, as close as I guarantee without being able to 100% guarantee it.
Yeah.
The PR people from the Bears were like, okay, we're not going to talk about the Chase, about, you know, this thing with Chase, right? If he had asked about it, you know, it was not his decision not to come. Okay. The problem is the players know the real story. So the media talks to the players. Players are like, yeah, Chase was told to stay home. Eberflus answers the question the way the PR people told him he should answer the question, and then now they're opposite.
Right.
They're creating dysfunction for no reason, because the reality of it is, who gives a shit why Chase wasn't there?
Right.
Exactly.
But they do it when they do it over these little things. Then you get it. It happens for the big things too, and it just makes everybody look even dumber than they already are. They don't need help, but they give themselves help looking even dumber than they should. Because this isn't just an Eberflus thing. The same stuff happened. It happened to Nagy. It happened to Fox. It happened to Trestman. It happened to, and so you can't tell me that it's And it's this, but it's like, well, they're all idiots. Well, mostly. But it happens the exact same way every time. So clearly, it's the structure the Bears have established that doesn't work. And like everything else in this franchise, they're never going to change it.
Right. And the message it sends is quite clear. If you can't get the little insignificant stuff right, how are you going to put a winning team on the field? How are you going to win a Super Bowl? How are you going to build a $500 million stadium in a TBD suburb? If you can't even agree to, as you say, it makes no difference right. what the truth was. But the thing yep. that made the difference is the two different stories
right.
is what the problem was.
Yep. Yeah,
didn't matter. The
players, the players knew what the answer was, and the team didn't want the coach to admit that it's what it was. And why did it matter?
It didn't matter.
It didn't matter at all.
Right.
So it's like, well, don't do that then.
Then you just look stupid and disorganized and chaos, and no one wants to be associated with that.
So it was funny. It seems to be, the timeline seems to be. So on Friday, Chase got asked a very loaded question that I'm sure the reporter knew what he was going to get. Do you feel like you're being showcased adequately in this offense? And he's like, no. It's like, well, why would we be showcasing you in the first place?
Yeah. But
no.
Exactly.
Then it comes out that he's not active for the game. The great Equanimous, Equanimous St. Brown, is being activated. But it's funny because I'm thinking there was a rumor early in the week or news that said, yeah, this is probably a week that Equanimous will be active. And it made perfect sense because the Broncos, we went through it last week. The Broncos had the worst rush defense in the league. Equanimous was literally the highest rated blocking wide receiver last season. So if you're going to run more, and the plan was to run Fields more, and they did, it made a lot of sense to have your best blocking receiver in place of the guy who won't block.
Mm-hmm.
So it shouldn't have been any shock to anybody that they're like, all right, we'll EQ instead of Chase this week. Because Mooney right. was healthy. They wanted yeah. Scott to play. It made perfect sense. But apparently they said he, on Friday, at least when he met with the media, Chase didn't know yet that he wasn't going to be inactive. But I have a feeling he knew it was coming. Don't you think? Like, he hadn't been told yet.
How could he not?
Yeah. But the right. fact that on he all the plays when he normally would line up, they're like, yeah, Chase, just hang back for a second.
Yeah.
Equanimous, you want to go stand over there? All right, good.
Yeah, yeah.
So somehow this is a big deal. That, like, their fifth best wide receiver didn't dress for a game and then got mad and he wasn't there. And did they tell him not to be there because they knew he was pissed and they didn't want him throwing a fit on the sidelines or whatever he was going to do? So they basically said, you know what, game's on TV. Just enjoy it that way. You're a big Andrew Catalan fan. Just enjoy his work.
Yeah.
We'll see you on Monday.
Yeah.
But then they could even answer the question about whether he was going to be there on Monday, which seemed like a pretty easy question to answer. Now, some of this does have to fall on – see, people give, like, Belichick shit because he – you know how he would have answered the question about Claypool? I only talk about players – I'm only going to talk about players who played in the game.
Yeah, right.
He says that all the time. Well, you can't get caught saying the wrong thing if you refuse to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, or just do the Bud Grant and say it's seem like the thing to do.
Yeah. Or you deflect by then bitching about the fact the Bears didn't stand at attention properly during the national anthem.
Yes. Right.
Bud's last finest rant. Well, they weren't even standing up straight. And the last time I think the Bears ever played against him, Ditka had all the guys lined up, like, exaggeratedly as perfectly straight as they possibly could. Now, this has happened before. I don't know if it's happened in football. I know it's happened in, I think it's happened in the Cubs, where the decision to fire a manager has already been made, and then he wins that game, and they still fire him. And in baseball, it makes sense, because it's like, well, yeah, great, we're 60 and 90 now. Congratulations, right. Way to go. In football, right. though, you know, where it's like, well, every yeah. week's a war, and right, you can turn your season around in a heartbeat. Do we think there's a chance that the Bears have basically said, all right, this got to go. We don't have time to do this before Thursday, but it's got to happen. And then the Bears win. And then they're like, oh, shit, we got to wait a week to fire him. It's like, you actually don't. Like, you really don't have to wait a week if you already made the decision.
Yeah, I think a competent organization would look at it that way. But when you're asking about the Bears specifically. Yeah.
I think they would change their mind. okay, I do it now. We're red hot. We've won one in a row.
I agree. I think there's two certain. I think if the Bears win this game, no way they fire him. If they lose this game, even if it's for 1 point, he's gone. I think it's that. To me, I think it's that simple.
Yeah. I'm not as. I've come to the. I think it's inevitable, but these are the Bears. I think the only way he gets fired this week is if. Well, I shouldn't say that. If it's anything like the first 4 weeks. He gets fired. If it's somehow better, I think they're like, nah. I think he keeps the job through the next Thursday game against Carolina, which is like week 11. And then he gets it. Oof. And I even put this in the column. I think if he somehow gets to the bye, he's made it. He gets to finish. Because the bye is week 13. And it's like, you know what? He might as well. Why pay... Why give somebody else a bonus?
Yeah, at that point.
Right. Although these are the Bears. They're not paying the... These are other duties as assigned. You're not getting any extra money to be the head coach. It's like, we were paying you to be the ball boy already, right? Yeah. This is basically the same thing. You got a headset.
Yeah.
We'll let you keep the sweatshirt, not the hat.
That tradition goes way back to that, you know, Decatur Staley's foreman who coached the team.
Right. Like, maybe
You're not going to pay to coach the team. You got a job.
George would be so excited. He's like, guess what? We have Robert E. Brannon IV. He works for Caterpillar, but his great-great-great-granddad was the original coach. So we're bringing him back to be the interim. So here's a question. I don't know if you guys know this. Did you know the only person allowed to wear the hat with the script B is the head coach? Did you guys know that?
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. That's a George thing. That's one of his, you know, his... This is the shit George worries about. Because it was the hat. It's modeled after the hat that Papa Bear used to wear. And I think the first... I don't remember who the first... I think Lovey, I think, was the first guy to wear it.
Lovey was the first one I remember wearing it, for sure. Yeah,
I think it was like New Era brought it back and said, hey, here's a cool-looking hat. And then George was like, oh, you know, the only guy... Well, my dad was grandpa... Or what was it? Grandpa? Grandpa. Grandpa wore that hat. And he was the only one who got to wear it because we only had one and he was too cheap to order more. Would they let an interim coach wear it? See, this is the important stuff we're talking about on this podcast.
Yeah, right.
You think this is silly? This would shit George would actually like have to think about. I don't know if we can let him wear the hat. He's not the
official
general, right? I don't know.
Yeah, he'd probably say
no. How about a lowercase cursive B?
Lowercase. Now we're talking. Yeah.
That's probably what he would do.
Yep. All right. So if they do it, so I think we know Mike Pusteri. You assume it will be special teams coordinator Richard Hightower.
I do.
Praz, do you have a feeling as who the head coach would be?
Hightower would make the most sense. It's normally almost always the special teams coordinator since he has a feel for both sides of the ball. So yeah, I'd go Hightower as well. But then again, you never know. You know. Head coach in waiting, Luke Getsy, could maybe get the call.
I'd put money on Getsy.
There would be a riot in this town if that's Getsy.
I could just see it. They honestly think he could be a head coach. And I could see them being, well, you know, what if we go on a run? Then it's solved. We got our guy.
We got our guy. Whew. Yeah.
What if we pull a Dan Campbell? And although Dan Campbell was an interim with the Dolphins, we think got to coach the next season and then got fired. Everybody's had interims except for the Bears.
Right.
I wonder, I should go to DraftKings and see if you can bet on who the interim coach will be at.
Ooh.
When it was... when it was 28-7. When it was 28-14, it just had the feel of, uh-oh, I think they're going to lose. So... I tweeted it out when I did it. I went to DraftKings and I placed a live bet on the money line for the Broncos to win. Figure it's one of those typical Chicago sports fan bets. I don't want this to happen. If I lose a few bucks, I don't care. The Bears will have finally won. But if the Bears do it, I will at least have the solace that their epic choke at least earned me a little money.
Yeah, what consolation prize?
Here's what made me mad. So I live here within, I don't know, I'm like 12 miles from the Wisconsin border. Sports betting, not legal in Wisconsin. I grab my phone, I go to the app, I log in like always, I place my bet, I hit the thing, and it doesn't register because apparently the location finder thought I was in Wisconsin. So I had to log back out, log back in.
Yeah, that happened.
Then I placed the bet. The odds had gone down during the minute. It cost me about 10% of what I won.
Jeez.
Just because of that. So that made me even madder. And it turns out my good friend Oleg did the exact same thing. At almost the exact same time. Yep, might as well bet. Can see what's coming. I might as well make some money off this.
I had him bet from the night before. I wound up, there's the big boxing match with Canelo Alvarez. I wound up parlaying that with Broncos money line and looked a little nervous there for a second there, but yeah. Wound up getting the job done.
Yeah, I've used this line before, but there's a famous line from the Paul Newman movie, Nobody's Fool, where he goes into this crappy little bar that he hangs out in, and sitting at the bar is his friend and his lawyer and the town pharmacist and then the bartender. And they are watching, this is perfect for a small town, they're watching the people's court in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And they're betting on whether the defendant or the plaintiff is going to win. Paul Newman's character walks through the door just as his lawyer is betting on the defendant. Paul walks in, hears it, takes some money, says, I'll put this on the plaintiff. And they're like, you didn't even hear the arguments. He goes, no, but I know my lawyer. And that was me with the Bears. It's like, no.
Nice.
You know, the odds are bad, but I know my Bears.
And I know my Bears.
And they came through.
Yeah.
And it was a shame, right? Because up until, I don't know, 6 minutes to go, that was an entertaining, productive Bears game. Like,
it
they
was.
Were actually, they
it
were
really
like,
was.
They were moving the ball. Justin Fields did some things. It's like, oh, see, this is, we know we can do this. They need to figure out ways to get him to do it more. Like, the one touchdown pass where he literally just stopped. He was going to run it, and he's like, oh, he kind of pulls up, and Kmet comes wide open, and he just flips the ball to him. It was a perfect use of his feet and his arm, and they're moving the ball.
Yeah.
And
perfect way to get defenders to commit to him.
He was, I think, before the
space for commit.
Yeah, before the sack fumble crumble for a touchdown, I think he was 24 or 25 passing. The only incompletion had been the Hail Mary at the end of the half, and then right after that.
Yep.
And it came down to the fact that the simple reason they lost was that if you count turnovers on downs as turnovers, they had four turnovers and the Broncos had none. You know, the two times they got stopped on fourth down, and then the interception, or the interception that effectively ended the game, and the fumble for a touchdown. That was the difference in the game.
Right.
So I know that with the three of us, two of us had one reaction, and one of us had another reaction to fourth and two at the Bears 49 on the very first possession.
Yeah.
You guys were couldn't believe they didn't go for it. Thought it was stupid. I was like, you can't even consider this. Now, all of us are thinking, well, if you give the ball to the Broncos, you know, they're probably going to take the lead on you right away, right? I was of I'll just tell you my thinking was,
okay.
A, we've seen this. The only other home game, this is how it started. And it didn't go well. B, yes, you have a terrible defense, but you also don't have much of an offense. And the last thing you want to do is in the very first possession, just hand the ball to the other team with your terrible defense with only half the field to defend. But I know both of you guys were like, I assume it was the whole, if you can't gain 2 yards, you don't deserve to win anyway.
Well, for me,
it's perfectly defensible.
Was that yours, Braz? Yeah. Yeah.
For
me, it was, okay, this team gave up 70 points last week. They're terrible. You're 0-3. You've got to go for it in that situation. You can't punt it. punting is kind of like punting to me is a little bit like bunting in baseball. It's like a little bit, you do it too often. So, and there was no reason for me. You're not going to gain that much by punting it when you could gain a lot by going for it. Even if you should make it, even if you don't, at least you're saying something to your team. You're saying something to your fans that we're not quitters. We're fighting, whatever. And it didn't matter anyway, because I think the Broncos 6 plays to march down and score a touchdown.
But
anyway,
doesn't the argument that this team gave up 70 points last week tell you that you're probably going to have other chances to score? Like, you're probably going to get to – you're probably going to be hanging around midfield most of the game. So you probably are going to have other chances to do this.
Maybe,
here's why I think the Bears didn't go for it. Fourth, it was a long two, which I'm sure they were like, oh, that's just a little bit too far for the Cole Kmet sneak.
Yeah, right.
Now, on the Cole Kmet sneaks, are they trying to do the Eagles thing where they shove him? Because I can never tell, because it all collapses so fast that you can't tell what the plan is. But, A, it doesn't make any sense to put – you have a large, strong running quarterback. You should just – that's what Jalen Hurts is. That's part of why it works for the Eagles, right? And the Bears are like, oh, no, we can't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
we got Cole Kmet, though. You remember, he played baseball at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So this will work.
I have no idea what they're doing. I have absolutely no idea what they're doing.
No,
it makes no sense.
Lot. It's not, now they must be so confident.
No, they're running it all the time.
They're so confident in this play that it's not even a surprise anymore. Other teams know what's coming. The Bears are like, oh, they just cannot stop it. It doesn't matter that they scheme for it. You can't stop Cole Kmet when he needs a yard, despite the fact that has it ever worked? Maybe once?
Maybe once, yeah.
Did it work the first time, and they're like, oh, we got something here. Look at this.
Well, and can we talk about
it? Go ahead.
Sorry. Oh, go ahead, Mike. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it worked enough against the Packers that it brought the refs to bring out the sticks and measure it. If you count that as
a moral victory,
still wound up being a turnover on downs.
It's like, you know, we didn't get it, but they had to measure it. Huh? And we're that close.
A moral victory.
Close enough to measure.
You know
how like some teams, like basketball teams, have like the hustle board, where like the stats that you normally don't count, they display to the crowd, like offensive
charges.
Rebounds, and charges taken, and stuff. Mm-hmm. The Bears have one, and it's forced the officials to measure. That's on there.
Yes.
And it works both ways. It works on offense and defense. Like, oh, I know the Packers got the first down, but they had to measure. So we almost stopped him. That also works the other way. They had to we didn't get it, but they had to measure. They were that close.
Yeah.
I don't know if either of you guys watched, did you see any of the Toy Story broadcast of the early game in London?
That's a very early game.
Didn't catch it.
Yeah, it was like 6:30 in the morning for you, right?
Yeah. So I slept through it.
I think it's still on ESPN Plus if you want to watch it.
Oh, goody.
So I watched it because I wanted to see, because they had, you know, I'm a sucker, I'm a consumer, and they had commercials. Like, how's this going to work? And so they had, I don't think they showed, I don't know if they showed, I overslept. I didn't see the very beginning. I wasn't really like setting the alarm.
Same here.
I was like, ooh, this will be on for 3 hours. I think I'll catch some of it. So I didn't set the alarm. But they had whoever the play-by-play guy was, some very deep-voiced, handsome guy, and Booger McFarlane. They had them in like the mocap suits. And so they were animated too. And it was really good. It was amazing. In real time, it was amazing to see those two guys like Toy Storied. And so they had it set up so like you were in Toy Story World and you were in Andy's room and he had a rug in the middle of the room that was the field. And then these little animated, really kind of cool animated 3D versions of all the players. They all wore the visors over the helmets so they didn't have to animate the faces.
Okay, I was going to ask about that.
So they would run around and play. So clearly they were, you know, they had some kind of motion capture thing on the, and it didn't always work. There were a few plays that the telltale sign was all of a sudden the camera would like pull way back to where you could barely see him run around. It's like, uh-oh, it's not working right now. But it worked most of the time. The one thing it had a hard time with was passes. It happened in the end zone, a touchdown pass to Calvin Ridley where the defender almost got it. It didn't think Calvin caught it. It showed the ball laying on the end zone. It showed laying on the ground in the end zone, but it was a touchdown. But other than that, it was amazing.
Like, so it's pretty cool.
So what I did was I had it on the big TV, and then on the other TV next to it, I had the actual broadcast. And I had the I paused it, and you had to wait a long time. There was like a 3-minute difference.
Oh.
Paused it so I would get. I wanted the broadcast to be just a little bit behind the Toy Story one, so I'd see how Toy Story animated. Then I would look over and I would catch like the last, you know, most of the play, and even little like subtle movements were on the animated thing.
Really?
It was really cool. And there were guys like Warren Sharp was bitching about it. Oh, it was stupid or whatever. It's like, yeah, all right, you're like a 45-year-old man with a terrible mustache. I don't think you're like the key demo for this, right? Like people were tweeting out and putting pictures of 4-year-old girls holding like their Andy and Jesse dolls or whatever, like just staring at the TV like they've never seen anything this cool in their life. It's like, you know, that's who the thing is for, Warren. It's not for you.
Exactly.
It's like, well, like, how am I supposed to bet the game? It's like 3 minutes behind. It's like, maybe
watch
you
the other broadcast
don't live bet on the Toy Story board. You dumbass. He didn't actually say that. That was me attributing that for him. But I'm sure there were people like, I can't do that. I can't bet any of this.
Are there plans to do another? Do you know?
I don't know.
Well, there's a London game this weekend.
Yeah, but it's on NFL Network. It's not on ESPN. See, the game was on ESPN Plus. So they went all out with the ESPN, with the bundle. So I believe the game was also on. I think you could watch it on Disney Plus. I don't think you had to have. So if you just had Disney Plus, you could watch the game. And that was kind of there for parents and little kids. They thought they would watch it. But I was I was really impressed with how cool it was. And honestly, I would just assume they do all the Bear games like that. The thing that made me think of it was, so
exactly.
And they did have, I mean, they had all the stuff you're normal. Actually, they don't call it the scorebook, but like the bottom line that has the stuff. The Toy Story one was really nice. Like Marquee should like get a version of that for the, it's much better than the Cub one. And they had the lines on the fields. They had the blind scrimmage and the first down marker. But what was kind of funny was, so the Slinky Dog, you know, from Toy Story.
Yeah.
They had him 10 yards long, and he would walk down the far sideline, and he
cool.
If they got past him, it was a first down.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
And then the Claw.
That's great.
The Claw placed the ball before every play. It would like zip over and it would drop the ball in front of the center and then go back. And then Booger and the other guy were like, oh no, what if the Claw accidentally grabs one of the players?
Like, just like Andy and Buzz or Woody and Buzz.
Apparently this really happened. They were, because it was the broadcast was like geared to little kids, they were explaining like some of the basic rules. And at one point Booger decided to demonstrate blocking on his broadcast partner, and they could do it because they were in the mocap suit, so you could see it. And the guy let out an oof. So I think Booger, he complained about it a few times afterwards. I'm pretty sure Booger really hit him.
Because
then when they showed theirs, they were like on a set, and they literally could like walk off, like they could stand up, and because they did it, like Booger got in a 3-point stance, and he comes out and he like hits the guy, and he really did it in real life, which was actually pretty funny.
Wow. Did they go, Daddy, what's over under mean?
Daddy, what's
this spread? Gambling for the children? Yeah. What's minus 200 mean, Daddy? Yeah.
Is this why the Jaguars make you cry, Daddy? It all makes sense now.
Right. Why does it matter if he makes the extra point? The game's over, Daddy. Yeah.
Why do you want him to go for two when they've already won, when they're already up by four? That'll be the next thing, right? So that could be like the Hulu one. That could be like the Toy Story gambling. The
you gotta go
live,
to Hulu. Maybe
the live
edgy,
gambling one is on Hulu. Yeah.
Okay,
right, well, that's good. This is good quality content for the Bears podcast, talking about the Jaguars and Falcons.
Absolutely,
what the Bears deserve
on Toy Story.
All right.
But yeah, the undermanned, I was going to say it's the undermanned Bear defense, but the Broncos defense also had like six guys out, which didn't help. But it's one of those games where the Bears had like 9 more first downs than the Broncos did. And they had like 120 more passing yards and 100 more rushing yards. And they 8 more minutes of time of possession and they lost.
Well, of course. There's only one stat that matters, kid.
It was funny. I kept thinking, you know, they're showing the two beleaguered coaches. And so the flu is just looking very
Lucy.
What is it? John Greenberg. I guess he stole it from our friend Chuck Gittles. Eberflustered.
Eberflustered. That's good.
Looking Eberflustered or Eberflustered. I don't know how you pronounce it. I only saw it in.
Yeah.
And then Peyton just kind of standing over there like, what the fuck did I come back for this for?
Yeah.
Just the looks, a few looks on it. So like a couple of encouragement. How about this, though? You know what turned the tide in the game?
I know where you're going with
okay,
this.
Okay, well, yeah, I'll let you say what.
You're going to talk about the sleeve cut.
Yes.
Yes.
That's exactly what happened. It got warm. It got warm on the Broncos' side of the field. Sean Payton, not in as good a shape as he used to be in, didn't want to like have to do the awkward pull the sweatshirt off. Or, you know, it's not even a sweatshirt. It's like a,
yeah, it's like
windbreaker shirt.
Yes.
You know, and you know what happens. He used to go to pull it up, and there's a little belly that shows, and you don't want to do that. I'm sure the real thing is that he's got the headset and the packs on, and he can't get the damn thing off on the sidelines. So he has the equipment guy come over and literally just – he didn't go short sleeve, though. He went like baseball undershirt length, like 3 inches above the wrist. Yeah. And it was funny. I think it was Matt Ryan was like, I don't know what's – I guess he needs a little airflow. Is that what improves that?
Yeah, right.
Like, it's still long sleeves.
Yeah.
From that moment on.
Yeah.
Couldn't stop.
That moment on. Sure.
Well, he's a football coach, so you know now that'll be for the rest of the season.
He's gonna, right.
I wonder if you think he'll start off with him hacked off, or do you think they'll have to, like – it'll become a thing. Oh, we need to rally.
He said it.
All right, give him the rally scissors. And they cut and they make a big deal out of them, cutting his – oh, the Broncos mean business now. Sean's getting his sleeves cut.
What he should do is, like, have them specially made so they can just rip them off.
like
NBA
yeah,
like pants.
Like tearaway pants. He's got the tearaway sleeves.
Sean just holds up his arms like this, and the guy goes, look out. Here come the Broncos.
Yeah, that'll get real fun for late home games for the Broncos when they're at high elevation. It gets way cold up there. Yeah.
So I'll ask you guys, was there ever a moment in the game where you're like, not just like, hey, they might win, but like, oh, they're going to win. Did you ever get that moment?
No, I never got that moment. I felt good, but I never got like, oh, it's over.
I felt at 28-7, I'm like, oh, good. Finally, I already had chalked it up in my mind. Like, okay, good, finally. They get a win. This will help. We'll have something to talk about on Tuesday. That's the most important thing. This is going to be good. And then when it didn't take very long for the Broncos to make it 28-14, and that's immediately like, oh, give me the phone. I need to make some. I got to make some money on this now. Yeah. I know where this is going.
Weirdly, I would say that, like, I felt more confident when they were at the 18, when the Bears were at the 18, like late in the fourth quarter. Looking like they were going to set the Broncos up to try to draw them offside on fourth and short there. I thought once they take that timeout, when the clock runs down, they're just going to kick the field goal.
Yep.
I felt way more confident at that point than I ever did when they were really up 28-7.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. And then they, of course, didn't kick the field goal, and Broncos did, and that was all she wrote.
So unbelievable.
That I think we need to talk about that sequence there. So like there's a lot going on there, right? So there's the simple basic strategy of we're at the 18, we got Cairo, so we know it's 3 points in the bag. We know we're gonna have the lead.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or well, yeah, but there's too much time.
Yeah.
So they're gonna score, so we better get a touchdown. Then there's the let's try to draw them off the didn't the Broncos called timeout first. They were trying to say, Peyton's like, well, we'll save some time. We're going to need to drive because they're going to kick a field goal. Then the Bears try to draw them offsides. The Bears gets down to one. The Bears call timeout.
Right.
So you've had two full timeouts to think about what you're going to do.
Yeah.
I'd really like to know, like, how many times did it change on the sidelines? From we're kicking, we're going, we're kicking, we're going. Okay, if we go, what are we going to run? And when the thing was, we'll run a handoff to Herbert. Then that should have been, oh, we're kicking.
I was laughing because the announcers were like making like, oh, whoa, we got a decision to make here. You know, big decision. And I'm sitting there thinking, everyone in the building knows what they're just trying to draw them off sides. It didn't work. Fine. Now they're going to kick the field goal. I'm like, you idiots. they're not going to go for it now. And it's like, oh, and here comes Justin Fields. I'm like, what? They're going for it?
What was even the point?
And then they compounded by not leaving it in Fields' hands. If you're going to make that, if you're going to make a call that dumb, at least let your best player try to do it.
No, I mean, that by far is the – it's so many poor decisions all coming together at once. Like a nexus of poor decisions. The first one is you know, people, they talk about like – I mean, I know obviously football's a game, but they talk about like gamifying things within it. So it's like somebody needs to have – a good team has already laid out like, okay, less than 2 minutes, there's one timeout. Yeah. If you kick the field goal, here's the probability that you're going to go on to win the game. Here's the probability they'll come down and kick the field goal and go to overtime. If you kick that field goal, you give yourself basically two probabilities. You're either going to win or the Broncos are going to have to – I guess there's three. You're going to win. The Broncos are going to have to make a series of plays, and then they could either tie it and go to overtime, or they're going to have to make even more plays, and they're going to score a touchdown. They're going to beat you. Right. So you have three – there's three outcomes there, two of which are okay. Well, one of which is ideal. One is okay. If you go to overtime, you're at home. That's, you know, it sucks, it's but fine. You're tired.
Yeah.
When you go for it and you don't make it, now you've already taken one option off, which is you winning.
Yes.
You can't win now because you gave it up. So now there's only – so there's all you have left now is overtime and loss. That's all that's left. Win is no there. Win is only there if you kick.
Right.
Excuse me.
It's like passing the football. There's only three options and two are bad.
Yeah, that's exactly right. In this case, Flus is like, there's three options, two of which are good. So let's not do that. Let's go to the one where if we fuck it up, there's two options and they're both bad.
Yeah.
So you've got that decision. Then you've got the decision, okay, it's a little more than a yard. I think it was a little more than a yard. It wasn't less. I don't think it was less than a yard, but still. It's like,
I think it was a good yard. It was a good yard.
A normal team would be that we've got two options. Do we want to set up and do kind of a conventional quarterback sneak with Fields? Or, for the first time ever, do we want to take advantage of the fact that we have this super fast quarterback and we can actually run a play? We can get him on the edge. You can try to leak. You know, you apparently got to force the ball to Cole Kmet as much as possible. You could give yourself you can give Fields a run pass option to the wide side of the field where either chances are he's just going to beat. These are the Broncos defense. Chances are he's just going to beat that guy to the corner and get your first down. If they overload it, then he should have an easy pass to somebody wide open. Now, I know you can't throw to Jim Flanagan like Wani would have wanted to in this. In fact, we know Wani would want to do it in this situation. We've watched him do it. But you're going to have to throw to actually one of your real offensive players. To me, the idea that you're just – with your line, you're just going to turn around and hand it to the halfback. When 80% of the Bronco defense is going to be within, you know, within that little four-yard area, you are not going to move that mile. If I was Herbert and they called it, I've been like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
He's probably back there trying to audible. Like, what is he doing? The running back's trying to change the play. He's like, at least pitch it to me. I'll just outrun somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Up the middle on more than a yard. Good planning, boys. Good planning.
Then they don't get it, and they immediately give up a 48-yard pass on the first play. It's the only yards the Broncos gained on that drive. All they had to. They were in field goal range. They ran three more plays, didn't gain a yard, kicked the field. Kicked field goal, and then you still had one more chance, which we all knew was going to go badly, and it did. So I'm used to the same set of like really sad Bears stats during games. Invariably, you get that they've never had a 4,000-yard passer. You know, their leading receiver has 5,700 yards for his career. I know him by heart. They don't affect me. We got a new one on Sunday that was like, holy shit. It was a Cole Kmet became the second Bear tight end ever to catch five or more passes 12 weeks in a row? No. Two!
2 weeks in a row?
2 weeks in a row. Five or more passes. And it's not even Ditka who did it before.
Yeah.
It's Zach Miller.
Wow.
I was like, holy shit.
Jeez.
I was like, how can that be true?
You're like, okay, it's not Ditka. Okay, well, it must be Embry Moorhead. No.
Right. Must be Greg Olsen.
Must be.
No.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it should, you know, you would think Arias probably, if like, if you gave me a, I said, all right, you pick all the Bears tight ends who've, this low bar, five or more right, passes 2 weeks in a row. And you're like, all right, well, yeah, we've got Ditka. We probably have Moorhead. Tim Reitman might have done it once.
Martellus Bennett.
Greg Olson obviously did it.
Martellus Bennett, yeah.
And you just start ticking those, you know, we don't have a lot of superstars. Ditka, right. Obviously, Hall of Famer. Olson, a borderline Hall of Famer because he got to go somewhere else. I was like, holy shit. I mean, at some point, if you're the NFL, right, don't you have to look at, like, remember when Bud was just going to get rid of the Twins?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I'm sorry. We're just, I know you're a charter franchise, but you're not doing right. anything with it. So we're stripping, we're eliminating, the Bears are no longer. And we'll wait a few years and we'll just put a new team in there. And the Cleveland's like, yeah, that works great.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem because they can't, you know, they can't do that. They gotta be like, we gotta get someone else to own this team who knows what they're doing.
No, and it's after not like, you know, I mean, even after Vag is gone, George isn't gonna pull a Marge shot or a Donald Sterling. He's never gonna do anything where you can legitimately strip the team from him.
No.
Mm-mm. I mean, hell, they couldn't even take the team away from Daniel Snyder.
Right.
They just had to finally wear him down, and he had to have the consolation prize of $6 billion to sell his team.
You're right. Right now, absolutely. Like, yeah. Yeah.
That's what they don't tell you when you're a kid. You're not just picking a team. Like, when you're a kid, you pick a team. Like, I pick all my teams because that's who my dad and my brother rooted for. That's how I picked them. Other kids, they pick teams because their uniforms are cool. Or they pick them because they're winning at the time. Like, oh, this is a good team.
I don't even feel like I
all those Cowboys.
Well, I didn't pick. Like, I was
no,
born
I didn't pick
it.
Either.
Like,
I just
was a
sign.
Yeah,
it was no.
Yeah. Pick four. It was a sign. Yeah.
Same here.
It's like a religion.
But what they don't tell kids is if you live somewhere where there's not like a, you know, you get where it's like, okay, well, I have choices.
Yeah.
You really need to pick the owner. That's the most important thing you can pick.
True.
Is who owns that team. Because they may, if you pick a team with a good owner and they're bad right now and your friends are like, what are you rooting for that team for? You'll be fine.
Yep.
If you pick some team because they're, you know, like all those kids who in like the 80s picked the Bengals because they went to the, because it was like the coolest uniform ever. They have stripes on the helmets now and even on the side. They had like 30 years of misery because Mike Brown owned it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's just awful. All right. So let's look ahead to Thursday night in Washington. Do either of you know what the spread is? Commanders coming off of a spunky overtime loss to the Eagles.
Yeah. Oh, I'll say the Washington's by 5.
Okay, Braz, do you?
I saw it already. It was Commanders minus 5.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Or at least on one sports book. I'm not sure if you have another number, Andy.
No, it's gone to 6.
Ooh,
gone to 6.
Commanders are 6 point favorites over the beloved.
Okay.
And the over under is 44.5. So, do either of you have thoughts on where your money will go?
Oof. Right. Go ahead, Perez.
You know what? I will take the Bears to cover but lose. I think this will be a close one. I'll say I was wrong on it being over last week, and Commanders, you know, they have put up some crooked numbers so far early in the season. So I'll say that this one goes over.
I can't pick the Bears. I can't do it. They are not just not good. They're now somehow in disarray. So former Bear and former Bear Super Bowl defensive coordinator. So he played in a Super Bowl. And he was a defensive coordinator in a Super Bowl. Ron Rivera. Riverboat Ron.
Chico.
Now, honestly, Riverboat nickname needs to go away forever. Because when they scored on the final play against the Eagles, and it's like, you are, this team is a lot better than you. You go for two right now. Give yourself one play to win the game, because if you go to overtime, you're going to lose.
Right.
And they kicked the extra point. And he said they did because they were tired. The offense was gassed.
Yeah, no, that was weird.
It's like, well, should the defense have been gassed? Yeah. Right, yeah, that's even a better reason. It's like, all right, use a timeout and have them gird up their loins for one final play.
Yeah.
In fact, this is the reward.
One play.
Go as hard as you want for one play. And either way, this is it. Leave it all out there.
Either way, we're in the locker room.
So this is an Amazon Prime video game. It's not a video game. I wish it was a video game, but it's on Amazon Prime Video.
It's not a Toy Story game.
If you get the chance, for at least, well, once it gets out of hand with like 8 minutes to go in the first quarter, I forget what they call it, but they have, you know, you can choose the different views of the game. They have the one where where you can see all the players, like the players are tracked. So you could see like where they run, but the angle is really cool. It's kind of a high angle where you can see all. It's like an all 22, but from a really nice angle. That's how I prefer to watch the Amazon game. You still get Al and Kirk, you know. You still get them.
Okay.
But like you get, it's like the next gen stats broadcast, whatever they call it, and you get extra stats and stuff. Last year it was kind of hit or miss, but this year it's they settled on a format that's a really nice way to watch the game. You see a lot more than you do during a regular. You know, because you don't need, and maybe it'll save you some shots of the Flus looking confused. You know, because they don't show the sidelines as much. So that's my little tip for viewing the game.
Did you say it's after the first quarter?
No, I'm saying that if you want, if after the Bears are already like 8 minutes in, when you know it's over, and you still got 52 minutes of game to watch, you're like, why am I gonna try this out? You know, just give it a shot.
Okay.
It starts right away. But then we get a Sunday of bearless football. So you can
that'll
be nice.
You can go apple picking.
Happy Sunday.
You can go to the apple pumpkin patch. Or you can watch good teams play.
Yeah.
I'm looking quick here to see what the you kinda watch good teams play. You get to watch the Chiefs.
Okay.
On CBS, they're the big game with Jim Nantz and Tony Romo, they're playing the Vikings.
Okay.
Fox doesn't have the doubleheader.
Well, is this the first week that teams start having bye weeks?
Yes.
Week five?
The byes are the Browns, the Chargers, the Seahawks, and the Bucks. And then the Bears and Commanders effectively get like a little mini bye. Huh. So, there you go. So it'll be something. It's kind of nice to get this one out of the way. Maybe the Bears should double. Maybe they can. Is there some kind of form they can fill out where they can just double up the rest of the year? Can we just play two games a week and quit early? No, they can't. Damn it. No. All right. All right. We'll see what happens. We'll see who survives.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks, guys.
All right.
Yeah, thank you, Andy.
Many of us have herpes.